Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Holy God, your word was written for all instruction. By your Holy Spirit, open our ears and fill us with the mystery revealed in Christ. Amen. The scripture reading today is in the story of the birth of Jesus from the Gospel according to Matthew, in contrast to the story of the Annunciation to Mary in Luke. In Matthew, we hear the reluctance of Joseph as he learns about the mysterious ways of God. This scripture can be found on page 1 of the Christian scriptures of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in his way, when his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together. She was found to be with the child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to the public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. "I thought I knew her. She was going to go. I followed all the rules and traditions that I had learned. My father and her father had sealed the agreement for our marriage. I gave my future father-in-law the monetary gift that signaled my betrothal to his daughter. Plans were being made for the wedding festival. I had selected a nice place for us to begin our life together. And then she comes to see me and tells me this incredible story. We had never really had an in-depth conversation before, but suddenly she is telling me about, well, this deal-breaking situation. Deal-breaking for me, at least. Anyway, you looked at it. It was completely outside of what was acceptable. It would stain us both, and memories are long in our town. And yet, at some time, I could not forget the honest and truthful way she broke the news to me. I knew how badly things would go for her if she did not have a husband. But the laws of our people and the traditions we honor and everything, what was I to do? I could see no way out to accept but to put an end to this quietly as possible. We both faced terrific shame. I did not like it. I slept fitfully. Then I was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by a vision and overwhelmed by the message. Do not be afraid. Do not let the fear of shame stop you. Do not let the traditions restrain you from doing what is right. Be the faithful partner you intended to be. Be the father you know you can be. Do not be afraid. If I accepted what the angel said, then it would be possible to not be ashamed, to not be stopped by unhelpful traditions, to be free to love Mary, to be the adopted father of this blessed child. The angel said, he will be Jesus. He will save us from the power of sin. He will be God with us. I thought I knew this was going to go, but now I don't know anything. Now I am in the dark, learning to trust God, who guides our steps, gives light to our pathways, and is who with us always.
We learn as we read on in Scripture that Joseph was a carpenter. We cannot say for sure, but we can imagine that as a carpenter, he was probably a measure twice, cut once kind of fellow. He may have been the kind of man who would say that there's a right way to do things. The story from Matthew seems to suggest this, that Joseph was a rule follower. So this must have been really hard for him. What are you supposed to do when you find that the thing you want most and the person you long for most is on the other side of the rules? It's perplexing. How do you fix this? Joseph does not have an answer that both solved the requirement of the rules and cleared the path for his marriage to Mary. There are a couple of messages here then, early on in the story of Jesus, when Jesus is still only a twinkle in his mother's eye. First, that God is less interested in our rules, even our religious rules, than we are. And second, God has done some of God's best work with people who fall outside the rules. It must have looked very disappointing and dark to Joseph. But into his darkness there shone a light. It was not a restoration of his original dream. No, this was not a Hallmark movie. God did not take away the complications or the problems. God did not clear the path for what Joseph thought he wanted most. But God revealed that Jesus, who was coming, would change the world. So Joseph, he went to bed blind, so to speak, or at least with a severe case of astigmatism. But he got up in the morning, and though nothing had changed, his vision was clear. I listened recently to Kate Bowler's podcast called Everything Happens. And in this podcast, she was having a conversation with Barbara Brown Taylor, who wrote a book in 2013 called Learning to Walk in the Dark. And they were kind of switching back and forth between discussing darkness as a physical thing, like nighttime or a place without light, and darkness as a metaphor, like the confusion of not knowing or feeling lost or confronting mystery. On the one hand, they acknowledged how physical darkness can be frightening because we can't see well and there are unknowns under the cover of darkness. And the metaphorical darkness is the same way. What we fear and anticipate can seem as real as something that we can see. One of my favorite quotes is from Marjorie Kennan Rawlings, who said, "An imaginary snake is more frightening than a real snake." And this is Joseph's problem. He's in the dark, and his imagination is completely disabling him. Barbara Taylor confesses that she's the kind of person that wants to express her love by fixing things, by making things better, which is a great parallel to Joseph because he goes to bed resolved to fix things, or at least fix them the best that he can imagine. But Barbara Taylor has a wise word to go with this. She says there's a kind of love that bears witness without fixing things. It's a challenging love because it's a love that's willing to risk sitting in the dark with another. And that makes it a powerful kind of love. And this too is what happens to Joseph. Neither he nor Mary can see where this is going except by the promise of God's messengers. Now at least they're in the dark together. And they bear the promise of God together in the dark. In one of those old black and white Andy Griffith episodes, Andy's son, Opie, who up to then had been fine going to bed in the dark, had been to visit a friend overnight, and when he got home, now he was afraid of the dark. And Andy's dealing with this situation, and he says, you know, there's nothing that's in the dark that is not there in the day. In the dark, the air is just a different color. Which makes the point that half of our life is spent in the dark. So darkness is an important God-given part of our existence. And I would say both the physical darkness and the metaphorical darkness. There are things to be learned that can only be learned in the dark. In the dark, we have to slow down. We have to take a breath. We have to use gifts and tools that we do not have to use in our speedy life in the light. In the dark, we have to pay attention as we do not have to do in the light. The message that came to Joseph is grounded in the same message that speaks to us all, if we will wait for it. In Psalm 139, the psalmist says, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and light around me become night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The darkness is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." It's in the darkness that Joseph learns to not be afraid. He's instructed in how to take steps without being able to see. He's given the assurance that God is with him. God is not hindered by the darkness. Now we know that we are born into a world that's broken in so many very evident ways. Treachery, violence, sin, these are daily constants. And we know the gospel story. It took the terrible death of an innocent person to set us free. We also know that there is an inexhaustible source of brightness and warmth in the person of Jesus, who first appeared as a baby in a manger so long ago. He is the light that shines in the darkness, so that for us, the darkness may be as light as it is to God, who is always with us. Do not be afraid. So I want to end with a poem called December by Gary Johnson. A little girl is singing for the faithful to come ye, joyful and triumphant, a song she loves, and also the partridge in a pear tree, and the golden rings and the turtle doves. In the dark streets, red lights and green and blue, where the faithful live, some joyful, some troubled, enduring the cold and also the flu, taking the garbage out, keeping the sidewalk shoveled. Not much triumph going on here, and yet there is much we do not understand. And my hopes and fears are met in this small singer holding on to my hand. Onward we go, faithfully, into the dark. Are there angels hovering overhead? Hark!